a legislator, and an icon.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. As you may have heard by now, Senator Edward Kennedy passed away late last night at his home in Massachusetts. This morning, President Obama called him the greatest senator of our time. Marketplace's Steve Henn is with us live from Washington to trace Kennedy's economic legacy. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
What economic influences did Kennedy have?
You know, that's a tough question, and really it might be impossible to answer in the time we have. But I think Kennedy had a clear vision of economic and social justice, and throughout his career in the Senate, he fought tirelessly to try to achieve it. You know, his defining issues were education, health care, equal rights, immigration, and he fought for years to raise the minimum wage. After a decade, inflation began to erode his accomplishments on that, and he took up the fight again and passed a minimum wage bill again in 2007.
Kennedy called reforming health care the cause of his life, and we're going to talk more about the current health care debate in a moment. What were some of his other accomplishments?
Well, you know, he fought to expand access to education by making college loans available to low and moderate income students. He was a key supporter of Title IX, the amendment requiring equal funding for women's athletics. And back in the 60s, he led a fight to rewrite immigration law. The bill he helped pass ended quotas and opened immigration from Asia. Over the next 25 years, immigration to the U.S. quadrupled. And demographically, that law has just transformed the country. But despite all of that, you know, healthcare was probably the single issue Kennedy spent most of his time grappling with. Beginning in the 60s, he helped create a nationwide network of community health clinics. He helped pass Medicare and more recently passed a bill to allow employees to keep insurance when they leave their jobs. And another bill that offered health insurance to the children of working families.
Marketplace's Steve Henn, thanks for joining us.
Sure thing.
As we said, Kennedy's illness had kept him out of the current health care debate. That legislation is on hold in Congress. And in the public, it's been dominated lately by images of Obama critics hollering at town hall meetings. Well, today, Democrats are launching a campaign to show the public support for health care reform. And reporter Tamara Keith has that.
A red, white, and blue bus pulls into Phoenix tonight, the start of an 11-city tour. No rock stars will be on board, just political operatives and volunteers with Organizing for America. That's the Democratic Party's grassroots branch. Jeremy Byrd is with the group. He says they want to send a message to members of Congress.
Well, we want to send folks back to D.C. with this, a message from folks who, you know, want the status quo to change. They're looking for health insurance reform to happen now in 2009.
In the next 2 weeks, there will be more than 2,000 rallies, town hall meetings, and phone banks. Jackie Schechner is with Healthcare for America Now.
I think when the opposition kicked up in a very vocal way, it became time to say, okay, we speak for the majority of the public, and let's make sure that our events show that.
Because in politics, perception equals reality. And as it stands now, the proposed healthcare overhaul has a real image problem. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Now for a look at world markets. A mixed bag. European markets are lower by about 0.5% this morning, while Asian markets were moderately higher today. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P 500 gained 0.25%, and the Dow added 30 points and closed at 9,539. France's president, Nicolas Sarkozy, is cracking down on banker bonuses. And now he's urging the U.S. and other major nations to do the same. From the Europe desk, Stephen Beard has that.
President Sarkozy loves to blaze a trail, and he believes he's doing that with his new curb on bonuses. French banks have agreed to defer the bulk of bonus payments for 3 years. Traders who lose money for their banks in the meantime will be stripped of their rewards. Sarkozy says this could become the global model. He'll call on the U.S. and other countries to follow suit at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh next month. Edward Harris is with financial website Breaking Views. He doesn't believe the Sarkozy plan will be widely adopted. He says the campaign against bankers' bonuses is running out of steam.
If the banks say that they need to pay high bonuses to keep the system running, then the politicians are inclined at this point to believe them.
Nevertheless, analysts say Sarkozy's plan may strengthen President Obama's resolve if he decides to curb executive pay at companies propped up by U.S. taxpayers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It's not cash for clunkers, but a major toy retailer is starting its own trade-in program. Starting Friday, Toys R Us will offer 20% off coupons to people who bring in used children's equipment. Toys R Us says it wants to remind people cribs and strollers are safer now than they used to be.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The FCC meets this week to talk about the wireless industry. Critics say that business ought to be more competitive than it is. Here's more from Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
At the top of the FCC's list will be competition. If you're like most Americans, your cell service comes from one of four companies, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, or T-Mobile. But just because they own 80% of the cell market doesn't mean they have a monopoly. Charles Golvin's a consultant at Forrester Research.
It's actually much more competitive than, for example, broadband or home telephone or television service today.
Consumers might be more interested in some of the other items on the FCC's agenda, like that bills are too hard to understand or that cell service seems to cost so much. Scott Cleland is a telecom consultant, and he says cell service is actually pretty cheap.
And we have the lowest priced minute per use, and Americans use more wireless minutes of use than any other country because the prices are so low.
Taxes might be something for the FCC to look at. Cleland says taxes are what make the bill so complicated, and that wireless is one of the highest tax services in the country. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, two companies striking a deal is not a gentleman's agreement. A reminder from a group of British public agencies trying to scrub the English language of biased terms. They ask you not to call your public relations colleague a spokesman. Critics say this recalls the political correctness excesses of the 80s, but the agencies say speaking sensitively is like any other skill. You just have to master it. Sorry, perfect it. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Have a good Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.